We are in a section, it's called Balak, and we know that within this section there's a beautiful story. If we look at the story, we talk about a king or somebody who announced himself as a king named Balak, the son of Zippor. He saw the Israelites came out of Egypt and they destroyed the people who are trying to destroy them. And Balak was worried, so he hired a person named Bilam. Bilam was a sorcerer, who used all kind of magic, and the purpose was to eliminate the people, the Israelites who just get out of Egypt, what they call the slave. And I said, I want you to curse them, I want you to eliminate them, I want you to get rid of that nation. What ended up happening, every time the Bilam tried to curse, instead of cursing, instead of black magic, instead of killing them, without control, a blessing come out of his mouth. Kind of weird. And Bilam, the sorcerer, said to Balak, to the king, listen, whatever God put in my mouth, that's what's going to happen. But the word God has two names. Bilam used the word Elohim, which Elohim consider a name of God in the lowest level or no name of God. Because Elohim mean the rulers or the controller or the one who are set the tone. Okay? So Elohim also can be the dark side, meaning the negative side can be Elohim too. And every time that Bilam swear that God is talking to him, he doesn't use the word Elohim, he used the word Tachagamaten, which is Yutke Vavke. So there is a situation going on there that Bilam play a big shot of spiritual guru or even a sorcerer, which he was. But he play like everything he's doing in the name of Tachagamaten, which is a much higher name, Yutke Vavke. But when the conversation began with what he called God, he's related to a different name named Elohim. Now you can find it in the English translation, unfortunately, because in King James Version or any other translation, they just took the name God. It's only God. There's no too many God. I mean, most people don't even know that God has so many aspects and so many names. You know, people don't know about the 72 name of God or the 42 name of God from an Anna Mekoach. Or Tachigamaten, I will be whatever I will be, aka it's a name of God too. Tzur Shaddai, Kel Shaddai, there's so many names. And when you study Kabbalah, you will understand where the name relate to. So when you are relating to the dark side, to the negative side, you either say Elohim Chaim, living God or living Elohim, or you can say Elohim Acherim, other God. Both of them sound the same. Other God mean the dark side, the dark Lord, the negative side, but you still call it Elohim. So how do you translate it into English? You can, because Elohim has been God or Lord. So a lot of time there is something that happened in translation that people don't aware. What about people like Israeli who speak Hebrew? They miss it too. Which means if you don't study Kabbalah, you can't see the difference. People who read the Torah for all their life, not even aware this week. If you should challenge me on that. You should ask all the synagogue and people, are you aware who Bilam talking to? They say, God. And who answer him? God. I say, not true. Here it's a Yud Kevavkeh, here it's a Elohim. Two different names. So Bilam play a big shot. Egomaniac, that kind of getting into, he want more followers on Facebook, I guess. So he say whatever he say. And it's just not right. And through that story, there is of course a lot to understand about life. You know, when a negative person like Balak, looking for a negative person like Bilam, a lot of time a person finds themselves doing a negative thing, but they believe it's in the name of God. It's, if you look at the history, in the name of God, a lot of people die. People didn't think they hurt people. People thought they're doing a favor to God. Whatever it is, all religion. In the name of all religion, let's kill a few people. Let's kill a few people because we think those people are not good enough for God. So we're cleaning the universe so God will be pleased. I don't think God, Yud Kei Vav Kei at least, I mean, Tad Shegametan, is sitting there and say, okay, somebody is volunteering to clean the universe for me. I don't think it works like this. I think God is about a billion angels who can do that job. It doesn't mean you and me to kill or to steal or to punish. Nobody has the right to punish a person. Nobody has the right. I know there is a court system and blah, blah, blah. In Israel, I'm Israeli, so in Israel, there is no, in the court system, there is no killing. You're not allowed to kill a person. You don't have to send them for prison for life, but it's against the law to kill a person. Even in the Jewish Talmud, it says that if a person do this and that, he's supposed to be killed by stoning or by hanging or by sword or by fire for time. So it's in the Talmud 2,000 years ago. But if you read the end of that section in Talmud, they say, and this never happened. Which means they write all the laws, what is the punishment for doing that, but actually those punishments were never manifest. So why would they write it? It's because the universe has a power to take care of the people. If you need to kill somebody by stoning, you don't need to stone them. God forbid a building can collapse, that's stoning. Fire, yeah, I don't need to tell you, fire. Choking can be drowning or other thing. Sword can be sharp thing that can happen to a person. So never happened that human being has to go and take the kosher law into their head. It never happened. And so they wrote it there for the sake of the universe operating in a certain way. So spirituality meant to be taken care of itself. You don't need to go ahead and do a lot. You just mention the law to the universe and then the universe take care of itself. Let me continue with the essence of why Balak chose Bilam. And who was Bilam? When Pharaoh was the ruler of Egypt, he had three advisors: Jethro, Job, and Bilam. He asked them, what do I do with those slaves, those Israelites? Jethro ignored the whole situation and ran away to Midian, to a different country. Job said, just take their money. Bilam said, kill, you know, the boys, kill all the boys. Because they were worried that Moses would be born, which he was born, and then he was adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh. That's why he could never be found. Why would all this happen? Because through that, Moses become with the energy of a king. You cannot redeem somebody who's slave with a slave. You need somebody who think like king. Slavery is a mentality. It's not just being a slave. Your mentality, you're a slave. You're thinking, how can I work for others? Kings thinking out of the box, thinking big. If you don't think you deserve money, you have a slave mentality. If you don't believe you deserve pride or respect, slave mentality. Yeah, you can call it humble if that makes you feel comfortable. That's, you know, that's the talk in town. I'm humble. I'm not looking for respect. So don't. Stay a slave. Oh, don't call me a slave. Is it bother you? Why does it bother you? Why does it bother you? You just say you are humble. So people are not looking for big desire. They're slave. They have a slave mentality. You know? So when people tell you, I mean, only in the last 200 years ago, people start thinking the spiritual person equal being poor. It was never the case. If you look 500 years ago, all spiritual people were rich because they believed that money equals spirituality. Today, it's become more fashionable that the priest or the rabbi has to go with a tear in their pants. Oh, I saw that spiritual person. No money, no, not, bread and water, that's it. Unbelievable person. What an ego trip, right? Ego trip. Oh, I'm so humble. The ego comes when you're humble. We cannot be so humble in our universe. So that's what the Kabbalists tell, that in our time, it's better to wear a coat of ego coat mean not physical coat, but that everybody judge you for having ego, that's actually the most humble behavior you can produce. That everybody look at you and judge you to have too much ego, that's humbling. But when everybody discover you are humble, that's ego. You understand? So very important. So going back to Balak and Bilam, why Balak choose Bilam? Balak said to Bilam, hey, listen to me. The last two letters of my name is Lamed Kuf. Luck. It's called luck, if we put it in English. And your last two letters, he said to Bilam, is Am. Together, if we put it together, is Amalek. The nation of Amalek. We know in the Torah, the nation of Amalek is the only nation that God said to the Israelite. So when you're getting out of Egypt, in the day that you're going to have a country, you have to look for the Amalek and erase them from the planet. And we know that Amalek, those of you who follow reincarnation and understand, Amalek was never killed. King Saul was supposed to kill the whole nation. And he left Agag, the king. And Agag, of course, make love to the maid. The maid get pregnant, run away to Iran. And eventually, the grandson is Haman from the Megillat Esther. Those of you who know Megillat Esther. And of course, King Saul, reincarnate and grandson, was Mordechai. As Mordechai was responsible eventually to killing of Haman. And if you look at YouTube tonight, you will see when they did the court with the SS with the Nazi, and it was 7 or 10 people that were basically were put to kill in Germany. All of a sudden, the old 10 spoke Hebrew before they killing them, and they say it's a Purim fast. Can you imagine? And they said their name, what it's written 3,400 years ago from the Megillah. You should see it. It's in YouTube. You have that. I don't do it as good because you have to see the actual. I don't know if they show everything. I didn't see it for a while. But what I'm trying to tell you, Balak and Bilam forced together was that force to eliminate all goodness from the world. And the Israelites were chosen by God to bring balance in the level of spirituality, which was difficult because there was slave mentality. So their job as a slave is to take care of the food, take care of place to sleep, thinking small. That's a slave. They didn't think about, okay, let's save the world. Let's make sure everybody have food. You know, you're a slave. What are you thinking about? I need to get paid. I need to get my food. I want to go to sleep. That's it. Small mind. Which is humbling, but it's irresponsible too. Because you don't think about globally, you think about you. It's the most selfish behavior. So slave is more selfish than the boss. Because what would the boss think about? The boss thinking about all the worker, all the people, all the neighbors. Because I have to think. I cannot think for myself. Every decision I make is based on quantum. I cannot think about me. That's how it's supposed to be, by the way. By president or by boss or by that. Because if they think about themselves, they are a dictator. And that's when they slave too. What is dictator? Slave with the shape of a king. Because they think about themselves, but they're using the people to do it for them. So all those dictators that you hear about, they're not really even dictators or kings. They are just slaves with a different type of mentality. That they have panic attack every 1 hour because they're afraid one day somebody will take their place. So who they are? Slave. A real king, like King David, never cared to lose his kingdom. King David, when he was chosen to be the king, it took 7 years for him to become the king. He was kicked out by King Saul and his army. He had to go to a city called Hebron, which we're going to go there together. So he went to Hebron and he lived there for 7 years. He has a miserable life, King David, if you look at his life. Never settled down. Like, come on, I'm the king. I'm supposed to see it. And I'm the king, you know? And then when his wife saw him dancing in front of the Torah a little bit too much, rolling on the floor, and he said, I'm not married to this clown. And the angel came and said, dear Michal, you will never have children. You make fun of people who are dancing in front of me, in front of God. So King David, as much as he looked like a kid and he was funny and he's going to war, he did all the job that require from a king usually don't do. He has a mentality of a king. He was never afraid to lose his crown. He's never afraid to lose the throne. He's never, because he's the king. A king is not afraid to lose his job. A slave is afraid to lose the job. Because the king is secure, doesn't he? So when we talk about Balak as the king, the rumor is that he wasn't a real king. He took that thing and he was afraid to lose it. He took Bilam, together they are Amalek. What God did? God did something very unique. He say, you are taking the last two letters of your name, and I'm going to take the first two letters of your name. The first two letters of Balak is Baal. The first two letters of Bilam is also Baal. Together is Bilbul. Bilbul means confusion. I'm going to create confusion with the two brain and let them sit together and nothing work. And if you read the English translation, it's almost like a funny. Balak is come with a lot of money. Say, listen, I'm paying you that much money. Just take care of business and we will be okay here. Bilam said this, and I'm talking to God. Remember what I told you before. He said, God, nothing. So he's about to curse them. He comes to curse them. What come out is a blessing. Not only a blessing is coming out. One of the curse that's supposed to come out came a blessing that every Jew said when he come into a synagogue. Matovu alecha Yaakov. How wonderful is your tent, Jacob. Mishkenotecha Israel. The place of living Israel. And it's written in the Torah. Can you imagine that Bilam, the most evil person ever came to this world, is the one who is because of him we sing that verse when we're going to pray. We'll see. Why? Because when a negative person is controlled by God, by the divine, because later on, Yutkevavke control him, Tachigamatan, and he uses lips and tongue to talk, then whatever comes off his mouth is no longer him. Something else. It's very important to remember that. Very important to remember. So, what do we learn from that? Another lesson. Another lesson is that the Israelites didn't even know that they are under attack. They had no clue. How many of you don't know that there is a disease on the way, or loss of money on the way, or relationship that's not going to work is on the way? You don't know. So how can you be appreciative of something that is about to be gone, but God just saved you from that? You cannot be appreciative over that. Because how would I know? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know I'm supposed to lose $5 million today. I don't even have $5 million. I hardly have 100,000. So to lose 500 is kind of a compliment for me. No, but you were supposed to get 10. Somebody's supposed to take it, and because of that, you're going to get 5, so you lost something, but it's not so bad. We don't look at life like with a gratitude for what happened if it will happen. And we shouldn't be panicking, but we should have gratitude. Because a lot of spiritual leaders like to panic the crowd and then tell them we should be thankful. That's not a good thankful, because that's kind of thankful of a slave. It's guilt. There's a guilt attached to it. You should be thankful from a point of gratitude. And I would like to take you into a section in the book of the Zohar. And in the Zohar, it's written a story in verse 293 in the Sulam. And the story goes like that. Listen carefully. Rabbi Pinchas, if it's too cold for you, we can turn off the air conditioner. Yeah? Rabbi Pinchas, היה הולך לראות ביתו של אשת רבי שמעון. רבי פנחס בן יאיר, hopefully we're going to be there on November, went to see his daughter. His daughter of רבי פנחס was the wife of רבי שמעון בר יוחאי. She was sick. והיו הולכים עמו החברים. So he was walking, and together with him, the friend, whoever studied Torah, walked with him. Of course, there is more meaning to that verse, not just physical walking. They're walking on the path of spirituality, but I'm not going to the deep, deep meaning, just the beginning. And he was riding his donkey. Just preparing for the story, he has a special donkey, very special. Baruch Shaya Olech Bader, Pakshubo Bet Aravim. Two Arabs met him. This is happening a little bit 2,000 years ago. That's when it happened. Two Arabs. It was not Islam then, it was Arabs. Arabs came before Islam, I hope you know, right? I mean, you know that, yeah. Shalotam asked them, Did you ever heard sound within this field from the old days? So we don't know if the sound we heard from the old days, but we know that we heard something. Because one time, it was gang of that tried to rob people, and they saw some Jewish people passing by, and they said, maybe we kill them and take their money. Suddenly it was a voice with a donkey, and it was your donkey. They pointed to his donkey. It was this donkey's voice, the one that you're riding on, and he did it 2 times. They make some loud voice, and a fire came by and burning them. Story, weird story a little bit. And those Jews were safe. Tell them, Rabbi Pinchas, he's on a donkey. This is a conversation. Say, listen, Arabim, Arabs. Because you told me and you make me happy, you will be safe today from the robbers that waiting for you behind that hill. There's people waiting for you. And they will not be able to touch you. Right after he blessed them, he started crying. And people are crying. Say, Master of the world, this miracle that happened because you want to do it for me. And those Jewish people that were saved from death, and I didn't even know. You need to know, people at those levels know everything. They are like the spiritual Google without phone or computer. They just know everything. And then he starts speaking, and he say, the one who do all the goodness, and nobody even know that he does the goodness. Person wake up in the morning, snake want to kill him, God save him. He doesn't even know it happened. How can he say thank you? Person walking in the street, somebody try to rob him. An angel come in the name of God, give something else. They leave that person. Then he look at the friend with him. He say, friend, when I ask those Arabs if they heard a sound, I meant if they heard the sound of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Because Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar's son, walking and study, and again, this is a different type of walk. It's a spiritual walk, meaning they're on the path of spirituality. And I asked them if they saw him. Because I know that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when he study, he shake everything around him. And they revealed to me another secret, those Arabs. He came back, says, Zaken, Zaken. Zaken means old man, old man. You ask us that question, we didn't see, but we saw something strange that we want to share with you. We saw 5 people sitting, one old man among them, and then it was a lot of birds that flying above them, and they're opening the wings in a certain way that there will be enough shadow so they can study. So they will never have the sun bother them. They were flying around them, it will be all shadow in a circle. The birds are coming, birds are going, and there is never missing shadow. And this old man, raising his voice, and they hearing him. So Rabbi Pinchas was happy, he said, that's what I was asking. Arabs, go to your way, and you don't have to worry about nothing, no money, no nothing for the rest of your life. Because you told me 2 things that you make me happy. For me, we learn, when you make a righteous person happy, all your path, all your journey is open for the rest of your life. So how are we going to know where to find Rabbi Shimon? He said, don't worry, let the donkey take us there. And he say, this donkey is a spiritual donkey, he know where to find Rabbi Shimon. The donkey was happy, started screaming, I guess. Yerad Rabbi Pinchas, and he see Rabbi Shimon there with his friend, study. And Rabbi Shimon said, please everybody rise, This is my father-in-law, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. It's amazing the respect Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai has for his father-in-law, when his father-in-law considered Rabbi Shimon like the righteous ever lived, the most amazing. And at that point, Rabbi Shimon's opening a section from Tehillim, from the book of Psalm, and they say, Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash, sing a song, a new song to God, Ki Niflaot Asa, because he did wonder. And Rabbi Shimon said, who wrote this song? And it say, actually, that was the cow that was singing the song when they heard about the Israelite leaving Egypt. This story by itself supposed to create a certain type of awakening for us, because I know a lot of people are either religious or spiritual, but they don't have a relationship with God. They're not like, and it's very difficult. I said last week in California or in Los Angeles specifically, it's very difficult to be awake. People are dead usually in Los Angeles. I said, I think last week, rest in peace, Avocado. Yeah. It's very difficult for a person to go ahead and wake themselves up spiritually. I mean, people can belong to spiritual group, church, synagogue, all kind of thing, mosque, you know. But really, inner awakening, nobody tried to wake themselves up. You know, everybody's into their comfort zone, what they can get, and no awakening, you know, no awakening. And the country, I mean, Los Angeles, I mean, we have a few shake of earthquake lately that maybe shake the people for 20 seconds, and that's it. Everybody go back to rest in peace consciousness, and that's it. That's about it. People are not going to be able to awake. I mean, if you live in, I don't know, Mississippi, you get tornado. Even Florida, you get hurricane. Get New York, you get the people. I mean, they're going to wake you up. You know, you got Chicago, you got the weather from super hot summer. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in another state. So once you go to a different state, you got San Francisco, you got windy. What do you got in LA? Comfort. The best. What can be better? I mean, it feels like cemetery, right? Oh, the best, oh, the best. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, why should I wake up? I don't want to wake up. We live in a dream. And that's very difficult. How do you get excited about God creating a miracle for you when every day is a miracle? How do you appreciate? The life is so perfect. What do you got? You want vegan? You got it. What do you want? I mean, got it. Got it. Well, you say it, got it. Weather, 75, no problem, got it. You know, it's almost like there's no four season. I mean, last year we had some rain. People keep talking about it. Ooh, it was all talk. The rain. And the people that I told you, people don't go to work, so they just enjoy it to either go 4 or 5, 101 or the 10. They have nothing else to do, driving, finishing the music, and then go back home. It was tough because the rain, you can't drive just for no reason. People don't know how to drive in the rain, you know, because what happened, the oil going, it's all New York. And I'm not trying to put down LA. I mean, LA is an incredible place if you take advantage of it. Even the land, I mean, we talk about the land that created enough food for the whole country. I don't know if you know that, unfortunately, but the rain falling down, going to the ocean, instead of taking care of the almonds and all the trees. I don't know if you're familiar with the farming land in California, instead of California, it's one of the best in the world. But people get tired doing it, so now we give the job to Mexico, and I'm not trying to sound politically involved, I'm not. But now if you see most of the fruit, even if you buy organic, it's either made in Chile or made in Mexico. It's either come from Mexico or Chile. If you get the fruit, Mexico, now you have New Zealand getting involved. But you have land in California, has everything, California. I went even, never stopped by those people on Malibu that sell strawberry. Love it, right? Love it. Yeah. And I'm not, maybe I'm judgmental. So I look at the sticker sometimes, you know, in the box that they're selling it. And I said, my wife is laughing, so I'm looking. I said, is it from South America? I said, no, but the strawberry is not far from here. So why, I mean, the point is to open one of those shack that I'm excited to stop my car, and it's a feeling kind of, I'm stopping and I'm buying. There is next to a green field and there is an avocado tree and this. So it's not good shape, but I don't mind it. I'm ready to pay extra money just because it came from there, next door. But it's not. And then I decided, I was convinced by my friend to go to farmer market. Oh, let me tell you, farmer market. And they have those pistachio and cashew and that. I love pistachio. Don't think I love it, I'm addicted to it. So I'm now pistachio, organic, all the name. You know, all the name. Now, bottom line, I'm a very good buyer, which means I like to buy. I'm very easy to get me excited. But then I go to Whole Foods to buy something else, I find the whole thing came from there. So I'm not happy, because I'm hoping the farmer market, the farmer come, I still have the glove, and he take it off. I work in a farm for 4 years, so I know how it works. I mean, I want that feeling. You know, he didn't even have a hard time to remove the dirt. You know, that kind of thing. I'm taking it home, I'm washing it, I'm eating. I'm a happy man, I like it. I'm missing it. I used to milk the cow, the goat, and the cow milk, it doesn't taste like what we drink here. It's sweet. You don't need sugar. It's sweet. It's actually sweet, thick, sweet milk. But we are now in a time which is very difficult to awakening the soul and being appreciative. How can I appreciate something that happened all the time? Perfect. Perfect all the time. How? For that reason, people who live in California, I always tell to them, if you live in other countries, easier to do that. But whoever capable to appreciate, while you live in a good weather, in a good place, in a good city, it's a real, you revealed a lot of energy. And for that reason, you see Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sitting in the dirt, and the birds have to create shadow. Well, think about it. I mean, God forbid, in Santa Monica, if you have discomfort, God forbid, even Venice starts to become comfortable. You go to one of those streets, I don't know how to say the name, Abi Bikini or something like that. Huh? Abi Kanini. Abi Kanini. So, Abut and Castello Street, you know, that street. I mean, you go there. This street used to be, I don't know if you know that street, different. Now it's become, you have to make sure how you walk there, you know, it's all becoming like serious, you know. It used to be, Venice used to be like, who care, you know, at least one area in California, who care. Now it become like, my God, I need a suit and tie to walk there, like, please, I want one street I can be relaxed. No, you get seriously involved. You know, so I'm not trying to make fun of that, but I'm trying to tell us, how do you do that? 2,000 years ago, those people were in the level that nobody heard about that level, but all what they are experience from outside, when you look at them from outside, is discomfort. But what you look at their soul is only comfort. In our life, all what you see people in California, perfectly comfort. When you dig into the soul, disaster. Panic attack, anxiety attack, sadness, depression. List of all the problems that you can have. You should look, by the way, you go on Google and look at the city that buy the most amount of medical for feeling better. You know, it's a big, big place. And it doesn't make sense. The second place, by the way, is in Florida. Also, nice weather besides the hurricane time. Okay? So, how do we get to appreciate miracle that's happening to us when we don't even know the miracles are actually taking a place? The idea, the Zohar take the verse also from King David, Tfilah la'ani ki ya'atof, the prayer of the poor when he covers himself with the coat or with the blanket. And the Zohar said that the first prayer that God accepts, there's many levels of prayer. First prayer is the prayer of the poor. God take the first prayer, the prayer of the poor. And I remember my teacher say it one time in the morning, and it was a gentleman that's quite rich. So he looked at my teacher and say, what is going on? You tell me because I'm rich now my prayer is not going to be accepted. Well, what is that? Am I supposed to give maybe extra donation or something? He said, no. Only poor person come first. So he was very upset with that. I remember at the end of the lecture, he said, so what am I doing? He said, it's not about poor or rich, just money-wise. It's about how do you feel? Do you feel you can lose everything you have right now? Everything. gone. 100% of what you have gone. Then how much you going to pray for it to get it back? So before every prayer and meditation that you do, you have to feel you have nothing. You have zero. No health, no money, no love. All gone. Now, how do you pray for that to come back? Many people pray for the thing they don't have. Not a lot of people pray for the thing they have to last and to stay. And that's a true prayer. That's when you get ignited. And unfortunately, it's very difficult to do. You know, if you live in Los Angeles, you always pray for the thing you don't have. This is a Los Angeles mentality. What else I can have? You go to Rodeo Drive, you see some Bentley, some cars. Eh? Say, oh my God, I didn't know Lamborghini can come in an SUV. I gotta get it. Gotta get this car. Gotta get it. Please drive it one time. But that's a missing point. What about what you have? I don't have time to enjoy what I have. I'm seeing what I don't have. So you're busy with what you don't have, instead of busy with what you have. So what do you do with what you have? You have no value to what you have, and because you don't have value to what you have, what happened to it? It has to go. You have a value for your health? It stay. You have a value for the little money you have? It stay. You have a value for the love you have in your life? It stay. Once you lost value for it, it has to go. No, it's not a punishment. Nothing can hold it. You need a cup to hold it. What is a cup? What is the cup made from? Gratitude, appreciation. Once you have gratitude and appreciation, it's not because you have to have it. It's because this is the tool to hold what you have. For that reason, you start to pray, thank you, God, for everything I have. Not, God, I would like to meditate to get it. You know, there is a lot of motivational speaker who talk about how to get what you want, how to really get what you want. You know those talk, how to really, really, really get what you want. You have all those lectures. I'm sure you went to the same lecture I went, and they put the, what do you call it, the arrow, right? I mean, you take an arrow and you put it into your neck. You never did that. And you have to break it with the wall. All those motivational speaker. Walk on fire, break the thing, overcome the thing. It's a wonderful thing, by the way, wonderful. Well, falling and with your hand in your pocket and let people cut you. And the whole theory of the last lecture is how to get what you want. No lecture tell you how to let go of what you don't need. Nobody will show up for that lecture. Nobody. Nobody show up for that lecture. I will give a lecture now, free. I'm going to teach you how to let go of what you don't need. I don't want it. No way. You know? But that's the essence. How to appreciate what I already have. Okay, sound okay. It's not sexy. It's okay. But how to get what you don't yet have? I mean. You know, you go to Miami, there is, forgive my French, there is a club, it's not 100 of them, of what you call exchange wife and husband, whatever the idea called. So, you know, those of you who know me, I'm not leaving nothing for imagination. I get my nose into everything. And I ask questions. So what is that? What's the purpose of it? What are you getting there? What's driving you? What's driving you? So I'm talking to the man. Remember, I had a meeting there, and then I have a meeting on the beach here in Florida, Los Angeles. She said, what's the drive? Say, a real man, Eliyahu. Not afraid to let go. I like the beginning was perfect. So wow, a real man not afraid to let go. And I repeat it after the real man. I said, this is very good. Very good. So you let go of your wife 100% and you get nothing? I said, no. Yeah. Say, okay. So it's not totally let go. And I'm getting and he explained to me the whole concept and idea. He was a good teacher. And I said, I think there is a reason why God put it in a certain way to be loyal. It's one of the mitzvah, not just for Jewish, by the way. All faith has to follow adultery, meaning all faith has to follow the concept of you cannot have another woman or another man. All faith. Cheating is not, many people think it's a Jewish thing. It's not. It's for all faith. Doesn't matter what faith you are. So I had a talk with him, long take. And I'm Jewish, he's Catholic. We're very good friend. We're still friends. And the idea is that concept of just how can I get more? Never gonna, those people never satisfied. Never. I told you about the guy in Miami, the guy who I pulled my car, you know, the valet guy. I think I tell you about him. So I have a friend in Miami named Daniel. I said, Daniel, help me to be today a person who has way more appreciation than people I know. I said, I got it. So where? I said, come to my house tonight. Come, I'm excited to meet people like that. They motivate me. So I said, where is he? He said, he's coming. I said, what is he doing? He said, bringing my car. Okay, so okay, the valet guy, it's appreciation. Okay, I want to learn appreciation. So you go to the valet guy, he said to him, this is my teacher, Eliyahu. He want to learn appreciation. He said, no, I don't think I can teach you this. You're a teacher. Said, no. I said, please, inspire me. I find out he was the manager of all the buildings in that area in Miami. His daughter gets sick with cancer, severe cancer. He thought he's losing her. He left his job, no money. And he was with his daughter. She survived, thank God. And then he went back to the same company with no money. He said, I'm willing to do any job. They said, you lost your job. You were managing. We pay you a lot now. Somebody else got the job. He said, I will take whatever you give me. He said, would you like to wash the car or being a valet? He said, no problem. I said to him, okay, that's a nice story, but he continued to talk. He said, I have the best life more than any human being I know on this planet. And he started to explain to me. He said, my life is start amazing and end up amazing. I mean, right now, I meet the best people. Then I wash their car. Then I go and valet the car. And every moment I meet a person, I'm getting excited. And then the best one that come in the evening is to see my family and have dinner with them. My daughter is alive. My wife is alive. Everything is just working. And of course, with tears in my eyes, I'm looking at them and say, wow, you are my teacher. I'm not a teacher to you. You are my teacher. Why? When you meet people that are able to have gratitude over what they have, those are the people you want to chase. The people who are just talking about how to get more money, more this, more favor. It's nice, it's good. You need sometimes money. But it's more powerful to appreciate what you already have. So that's what we got from Rabbi Shimon. Now, the other section is taking us to Rabbi Isaac Luria. And Rabbi Isaac Luria is teaching us that the Bet and Lamed, meaning the beginning of the name of Balak and Bilam, like I say, it's Bet Lamed, Bel, it sounds like Bel. It's coming actually from the Bet and Lamed that came from the second boy of Adam and Eve, named Abel, Bel, Bel. And what happened? Balak come from Cain, and Bilam come from Abel. Moses also come from Abel. What's the difference between Cain and Abel? After the death of Cain and Abel, all the male soul that coming to the universe, all the reincarnation, is coming either from Abel, either from Cain. You're not both. You're either here, either there. The one that make a living, let's say, by talking, they are Abel. The one who make their job, their work, by working with their body, with their hand, they are Cain. There is people who know how to work with their hand. There's people. I remember when I tried to work with my hand and paint, I was working for a company, then bring two companies, one is Winsor Newton, one is Faber-Castell, if you know those companies. And I worked to import that to Israel. So I decided, I look at those famous painters that I'm selling the product. I said, I think I got it. I bought a canvas, embarrassing story, really embarrassing story. And from time to time it happened to me again, I go with my kids, say, let's paint something, it's going to be a piece of art. And it starts well, actually, the first thing starts and nothing happening. You know that feeling? Nothing, like, I want to take a brush and do something. Because you see those people in the street, they don't do anything. They just, and you have a picture. How is that happened? I never was capable ever in my life, to draw a picture. Like I'm even trying to make it look weird so it will look good as weird. Even that doesn't work, you know that feeling? Like nothing. And I'm saying, is it gonna be all my life? My job will be only from that? So I guess I'm come from Abel, because I'm not capable to create. Yeah, some people, you know, they touch something, one, two, three, bam, 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 And I remember as a young boy, when I work in a farm, I get fired basically every 3 months with my hand. I mean, terrible, terrible. And I mean, whatever I do a job, go, you're too, talking too much. So what do I do? So in the end, they make me in charge. That's how I get to the food business, right? In the end, they can make me in charge of the dining room. I thought I'm going to be busy with food, but I was the cleaning lady. I called myself Matilda. Matilda is here, Matilda is going. So I was the one who cleaning the table, salt and paper, and fill up the tissue, if you know. You know, those in the old machine that you put tissue. And clean the window once a month, even know my job, and toilet. And basically, that was my job. I have that machine. It was 1,200 people. 1,200 people. And then, if they didn't know what to do with me, I was washing dishes the size of that ceiling. Okay? I'm going inside, wash them. And then I remember the day that they give me some chemical to wash the dishes, and everybody left the kitchen. And I'm the only guy, Matilda is in the kitchen alone, so what happened? And then one guy told me it's a very dangerous material. I said, thank you, sir. I'm the only one who stays here. But I was never sad, because I know that I'm not capable to do other physical job in a farm. So it was a good job for me. I put the old days used to be the Walkman. You put those, I don't know if you remember the sponge here, whatever, the orange things. I remember those things, big thing with the tape. Okay, sometimes it gets stuck and you have to take it out. And that was my life. Then I become the dishwasher in the evening. It used to be a machine, you know, that going like this. I have to take the plate. Weird job. If you would see me then, it's embarrassing, right? One time, the chef gets sick. So the sous chef asked me if I can help. I'm going to the kitchen. I didn't know where it's going to lead me. So that led me to start helping, cutting some salad, which I almost cut my finger. And step by step, God make you find your way. God make you find your way. And when I was a soldier in Lebanon, they took me as a chef, which I wasn't. But it was better than fighting machine gun and all this and that. So when they said, are you sure you're a chef? What are you going to say? Yeah, I am. Sure. I am from Hilton Hotel in Tel Aviv. It's me. So wow, so you make us a soup. It's a true story. It was Friday. So I don't know how to make a soup. I don't know how to do nothing. I know how to cut vegetables. And I remember I called my mom with one of those phones. I said, Mom, you have to save me. Either I'm going to fight or either I'm cooking. So okay, I teach you cooking. Just do what I'm telling you. That's how I cook my first dish. And I passed the test. And that's how eventually I end up as a chef in the farm, or the chef and I start cooking. Start cooking all kind of dishes. And it's funny how God, and eventually I didn't cook anything, I was just talking. I'm just telling people, do this, do that, fix it, remove the salt, put the potato. And God has a way to people who are happy with where they are at that moment to give you way more than you can imagine. Way more. I make maybe 0.001% effort, and I get the rest from the Creator. The effort I put in is almost nothing. But when I gain back, it's not normal. Like sometimes I look, I said, God, are you paying me everything now? So when I go to your heaven after life, you said, I'm sorry, I pay you everything. I can pay. I'm nervous sometimes because I'm getting so much here and I have so much gratitude to God that I'm worried sometimes. I'm not doing a lot of good things to get paid that much. It's not normal. Like I'm afraid that the deal is wrong. Somebody negotiated the deal and give me everything just to get rid of me. He's like, give him everything now. So when he go to heaven, I owe him nothing. Get him out of here. Don't worry. Like some people complain. I'm thinking, Baruch Hashem, I mean, what can I complain? What can I complain? I mean, it's how can I even speak? How can I even say something? It's not normal. I have to tell you, not normal. And sometimes when Debbie talked to people about me, he said, I have no idea how it works, but you join my husband and something will start working for you. But I cannot tell you how it works. And when they come to me, so how is it work? I say, I don't know how it works exactly, but it works. But I can't tell you. And when I meet people and I ask them, how did you make your first million? How did you do success? How did you become famous? Anybody give me a formula and answer this and that. And everybody ignoring the fact that maybe they don't know how it exactly happened. You know, and I believe in my life I met only 3 wealthy people, super wealthy, and 2 famous people that told me that they have no idea how exactly it happened, and it's an act of God, because what they did is zero compared to what happened. And I enjoy it. You know, when you meet people, they start to understand that there is no formula for real success, for real happiness. But there is a formula that really works, is stop, make a list of all the good things you have, and be busy saying thank you just for that. And that will bring way more. Instead of making the list of all the things that you don't have yet. It's good to wish, it's good to have desire. But if you're too busy with the thing you don't have, you are busy with the dark cloud. And when you're busy with the dark cloud, you're bringing into your life Balak and Bilam. Balak and Bilam. You know, maybe because I grew up differently than other people, maybe because I grew up in more in a poor neighborhood. So it's easier to appreciate, okay? So when you come from very rough neighborhood that you don't have anything, and your mother make you, instead of meatball, bread ball, that I didn't know it was bread until we grow up. It was actually leftover bread. She put it some eggs and parsley, make it look like meatball, throw it into the sauce, and we eat it with pasta. But it tastes good. Until you meet the real meat, you realize it wasn't bread. Okay? It's a weird story, but gratitude needs to happen immediately. Not as a thank you to God, not as an appreciation like people presenting it. It's more as for me. I become more happy when I'm happy with what I have. So, the Ari, go ahead and say, what exactly happened with Abel? Because we know that only Cain did bad things, but actually, the Ari, from a reincarnation point of view, write to us that also Abel did something wrong. Because it says, also Abel brought mincha l'Hashem. Meaning he also, the word also, mean he also sinned like Cain, but not as bad as Cain. ולהיות אותו הקליפה מן המקום ההוא ממש, כנודע כי גם זה, לעומת זה, עשה אלוקים. וכפי שורש הנשמה בתרה, יש כנגדה בתומעה. The universe operates equally. So there is, as much as there is impure system, there is pure system. If a person is super spiritual, within the system of that spiritual person has to be impure system as well. So if you elevate yourself to a highest level, you also have within you a system of negativity that need to crush you to the lowest level. And if you're very low, then your temptation is very low. Now you know why I always say in my lecture, I'm really getting excited when I meet selfish people or egomaniac or playboy or whatever you want to call those people, crazy people. Why? Because their desire is great. That means their holiness is great too. I never get excited when somebody said to me, I'm a good person. So if you're a good person, you're not here to change the world. You just have to be as a decoration. You know, beautiful decoration, and that's it. You live, you die, and that's it. But when you meet people who shake the world in a bad way, if you flip from minus to plus, they come to shake the world in a good way. Those people, I always get excited. Not the people who, there's no noise. There's nothing going on. If a tree fell in a forest and it was nobody to hear, the tree fell, it didn't make a noise. Meaning if a person fall, you know, if a person die and it didn't make any noise, is it considered like he was alive here or not? And the answer, of course not. Because if you don't make an impact on something, on someone, it's like you never have been here. You have to make impact on someone. You cannot just let the day go by. And impact is every day. Whatever you sit in a choir and start singing, whatever you're sitting in a dinner and you are sitting with your loved one and you kind of eating, you have next to you a person, next to you another person. Say hello. Hey, how's the food? How you doing? How you doing? How's everything? Talk. You never went to an Italian restaurant? Real Italian, not the one. You're polite. In Italian restaurant, you're not supposed to be polite. If you're polite, something wrong with your Italian mentality. You know what I'm telling you. Or Sicilian, I don't know what to call it. You say hello, you say how is the wine? You like that dish, what is it? Well, where is it in the menu? Show me all that. Let me order it too. That's your life. But if you are just, well, stay home, bring the food home and eat it. You go to a restaurant to meet people. You go to a club to meet people. You have now meetup, right? You're not the meetup group. The most beautiful, I don't know who invented it, genius. People meet in chess, in book club, in tennis, in basketball. Endless option to meet people. Could be the best thing ever happened. When the Ari is telling us, because Abel did what he did, there is the good and the bad. The chitzonim, the outsider, is bringing the worst soul in the world to capture that negative aspect. So try to imagine a human being is very elevated, righteous. But the righteous did mistake. Jealousy happened. Instead of looking at his wife, he looked at another woman. What happened to that negative aspect? That negative aspect has to be still by something called klipa. Klipa means the shell. Or has to be still, they're stealing it by the chitzonim, meaning the outsider. And then they take that thought, or that action, or that negative talk, and they create a human from it. The human they create from that, okay, is Bilam. And that human, born only to do negativity. But why? Because everything which is a living thing has a spark of positive, but it's only covered by negative. You have to remember that. So when you see the worst person you ever met, that means there is a spark of positive covered, present by negative. כי כסף אחר שנזקק ונצרף על ידי האופרת שהוא הקליפה, if you take silver, said to us Dari, which I don't know if he mean it physically because I don't know about minerals, it covered by offeret mean lead, which is it true? Somebody know about silver? I don't know about in the ground. When you take the silver from the ground, it says it's covered, but it's covered by lead. So that means you have to clear it from the lead, and then take only the pure silver, and that's what the silver is. Which I don't know if he meant it physically, I think it meant physically. But you still, within the lead, okay, which is also a metal, you will have pieces of silver in it. So Bilam, ayayimu kama nitzotzim chel kedusha, mishoresh Moshe. Bilam was sharing holiness in the same type of Moses. Can you imagine the worst person in the world with the best person in the world sharing the same aspect of soul? And for that reason, he was able to do all kind of witchcraft and sorcery and negativity by looking at people who could kill them. That's where his power came from. What does that mean? That means, my friend, that anything or everything, I should say, that you can do, good and positive, it's not you. It's the gift that the Creator put within you. So when you're proud of something you thought about, oh, I come up with an idea. That idea was a fulfillment from the Creator that come to your vessel, to your container, your brain, your mind. How can you be proud of that? How can you say it's me? You just receive an idea. We use the term, I got it. That means it's not mine. I don't own it, I got it. I just got something. Oh my God! So there is a wave of thought. Whoop, you got something. What are you doing? Have ego for that? Chazal Shalom, God forbid, this is a terrible concept. This, you might be the most negative person, but you have a good idea. Is that good idea make you a good person? No! That good idea is idea that because of the type of soul you have, you pick up on that, and then you have power. A lot of people, when they get a good idea, they feel, I'm a good person. Good person. Let's say you help 1 million people. It doesn't make you a good person. Because that thought to help 1 million people, the act of helping good people, is because the spark that God put inside of you. You can never be proud. So having ego is not a bad thing. It's just stupid. It's almost like the cup of tea. We start being proud of the tea within it. It's a container. You are only a container. Bilam was a container that happened to have a spark of Moses in him and a spark of Abel. And he have ego, you should read the portion about it. Let me speak to God. God! God is not even talking to you. Elohim in the lowest level talking to you. Why you say God? How dare you say God? And then when his mule came with him, the mule saw the angel of God touch a gabbatan, if you look. He didn't see the angel of Elohim. And God tried to teach him, the mule can see and not you. The mule. You are not even in the same level. And then he understood. And then no longer he said the word Elohim. And say, then Yud Kevav Ketachi comes and say, whatever I put on your lips and tongue and gum and teeth, any sound come from you, it's a sound that I put in you. God tried to teach him a lesson, Yud Kevav Ketachi Gamatan. Everything we have, it's about us. Because you can sometimes act like Bilam, sometimes you can act like Moses. If you want to act like Bilam, start being proud of all the great words you say, great idea you thought about, great action. It's stupid. Moses was not be able to be captured. We know in the end of the parasha, they sent all kind of sex slave to capture all the Israelites, to seduce them. And they were looking for Moses. The goal was to find the leader. The embarrassing, they didn't find Moses. They found the head of the tribe of Shimon. His name is Zimri ben Salu. They send him the biggest magic, black magic prostitute exists in the world. And say, do, just make sure you find this guy, sleep with him, and that's how we're going to kill them all, with this magic. Sex and magic. She found the wrong guy. Where was Moses? Moses, busy being nobody. With all his gift, nobody. But he's busy being nobody without even knowing that he's busy being nobody. Because if somebody catch you being nobody, you're actually trying to be somebody. If people know that you work on being humble, it's an ego trip. The secret about being humble, everybody should judge you for having too much ego, then you know you're on the right track. But if nobody tell you you have too much ego, when people start not liking you, people judge you for having too much ego, you're rude. Oh, thank God. That's me, nah. Now you're humble. Now you get crushed. But when you are kind of, thank you, I'm so sorry. And everybody say, oh, he's such a nice guy. Such a nice, so polite, so polite, so nice. That's not Moses. She could not find Moses. So it's a lesson for all of us, guys. If we summarize the last part, Bilam, same roots as Moses. But Moses knew how to use his gift. He knew that God chose him. When they asked Moses, how come you're humble? They want to study from him. How come you're so humble? He said, it's very simple. If God put in you what he put in me, you also will be Moses. But you just didn't get what I got. So I'm not Moses because I'm special. I'm Moses because the vessel is the same. We all have the same vessel. God chose to put the best one in this vessel, so it become good. It's so beautiful, the answer Moses answered. So I'm not even humble, he said. God put, I want you to be humble. I want you to be a leader. I want you to be, so I'm humble. But I'm not really humble. I don't even have a free will. That's beautiful. It's the same example I'm using when I said the brush of Leonardo da Vinci. We are nothing more than the brush and Leonardo da Vinci. Meaning, let's say Leonardo da Vinci is God, let's say. Not, of course not. But we are just the brush to paint a beautiful picture. Sometimes the brush has ego for doing it. Right? The ego is so stupid. For ego for what? I get an idea after I was in Nobu to go and make the fish the way they make it with the honey and whatever it's called. Said, I'm going to do it. And of course, my ego was the drive. Did I make it first one? No, the second one I made it. I was so proud. And of course, my ego go, hey, why don't you test it? That's good, that's good. And my wife said, stop with your ego already. So I'm sorry, but it's kind of nice. People are respecting for the fish. It's kind of nice. And the idea of the ego is addictive because we start getting credit for something that don't belong to us. My ability to cook is not me. It's God put it in me. And that's why when I go to the kitchen, it's come naturally. Okay? But you put me in an iron, try to iron my shirt, never going to happen. 30 years I'm trying to get it. I'm not getting it. Trust me, I have a teacher who come to teach me. When I come to iron my shirt and I have to do it in the army, the best I could do, I was only doing the front. You ever do this? And the end of the sleeve. And once I try to change the sleeve to that, it's so complicated. Never make it. I try. I went to dry cleaning with my friend in the valley. Very nice guy. Then I went to a guy in New York. I sat with him. I said, can you get somebody to teach me? I'm embarrassed. I'm a man. I'm a single. I want to do that. I want to do this thing with the steam. Everything that I touch with that, either I burned the shirt, it was too hot, too cold, too much water, too much, what do you call the spray that they put to make it strong. Start. So I gave it up. I decided that that's not the gift that God gave me, iron shirt. But if you put me in the kitchen, I'm actually not bad. And the idea is not because I am not bad, it's because that's part of the gift that the Creator gave you. This week, finding your gift. Don't look for the thing you don't have. Finding what the gift to go, and be appreciative of that. Okay, Debbie, give me the sign. We have to finish. We've been too long. Thank you very much for coming tonight. Thank you for the people at home. All the best and have a great week.